I guess, first of all, I just want to say initially thanks to my table. I almost in some ways feel a little more pressure because they gave me so much support this morning that I feel like I've got to do like a magic trick or something to kind of, but.
Oh, no worries.
But the reality is that it really is an honor, and I feel blessed to have that kind of support. And on that note, the one thing I'm most scared about is crying. I'm a crier. Just going to throw it out there. I said it. And it'll probably happen. So let's start here. A junior pharmacist and a senior pharmacist are sitting behind a counter. Senior pharmacist says, "I got to take a break. Can you man the station?" Says, "Yep." Guy walks up. "I got a terrible cough. You have anything for me?" Guy looks around, doesn't see anything, slides him two laxatives. Guy's kind of desperate, wolfs him down right there, goes about the store. Senior pharmacist comes back, says, "Anything happened while I was gone?" "Yep." Guy said he had a terrible cough, came up, didn't have anything, gave him laxatives. Laxatives? What's that going to do? It's not going to do anything for a cough. He said, "Sure it is. Look at the guy in the corner trying really hard not to cough." What does that have to do with the test? What does that have to do with the testimonial of Todd Harlow? Absolutely nothing. I was told that you were supposed to start a talk with an interesting story or a joke. There you have it. So in the late, great Jim Valvano, the head coach of NC State basketball, I'm a huge sports fan. My wife has went to NC State, so I mean, it's kind of in the family. We like the man and certainly in sports. And he has a famous speech called Never Give Up that he gave at the ESPYs a number of years ago. It's the head of his foundation, and it's pretty famous. But there's a part in the talk where he says what he thinks the three critical things of growth or success in one's life, and it's always remembering where you came from, where you are, and where you want to be. So we're going to take a cue from that and kind of follow that format. It's easy to follow, and it'll keep me on the rails because I can get off the rails. So where I'm from is easy. I'm the only son of Jeff and Sarah Harlow. I was born in Peekskill, New York in 1971. And I could not have had a better upbringing. My parents are middle school sweethearts. Been married 55 years. They're retired right now in Bluffton, South Carolina. And I just could not have had a better upbringing. They loved each other. They gave me discipline when I needed discipline, encouragement in everything I did. I just could not have asked for anything better from them and really my upbringing. The only thing that was really trying about my upbringing is I moved 5 times before I ended first grade. Peekskill, New York, to Chicago, to Ann Arbor, Michigan, to New Jersey, New Jersey, to L.A., and then ultimately kind of settled in Northern California in the East Bay of San Francisco, was like first through eighth grade. And that was, great place to live, made friends, got assimilated into sports. It just couldn't have been a better situation. Well, sure enough, it's the end of my eighth grade year. My dad sits me down and says, I took a job in Atlanta, and we're moving. Eighth grade, going into high school. Not cool. What am I going to do, say no? So pack the bags. I'm now starting high school in Atlanta. And to put it mildly, it sucked. Tough to make friends. I wasn't anything in sports anymore. I thought I was someone in California, not anymore. And my dad's out traveling, working this job. And I'm in a full pout, if we're honest. I mean, I'm not making friends. And I'm kind of taking it out on my mom. And in terms of my pout, and finally she turned to my dad and said, "Jeff, I'm kind of out of bullets here. I think you need to talk to him." So he sits me down and gives me a talk. Here we go. That I'll never forget. And he, you got to understand, I didn't grow up in the church. My only formal foundation or introduction to the Lord was really through friends. You spend the night at someone's house when you're younger. If your parents don't pick you up at 8 a.m., you're going to church with them. And as it stood, I had a lot of Catholic friends. Just this is through sports and my friends, Catholic friends and Mormon friends. So I would go and I'd sit there and listen. I didn't hear it though. I was too young. I was distracted. I'd listen, didn't hear it. By the way, newsflash: if you ever go to a Mormon church, it's not an hour. Just so you know. So that was really my only formal introduction. My dad sits me down and he says, "Son, you got his way of teaching." Was about this much empathy and like this much perspective and appreciation about how lucky I was in particular and really us as a family. And I think he was right. So he says, "Son, I understand how you're feeling. There's his empathy. He says, but your problems, what, you don't have friends, is that it? Yep. He says, that's not going to last long. I know you'll make friends. He goes, and the reality is, this is the part that I have tough saying. He says, your problems just aren't that big. He goes, you always got to remember, there's kids that can't even walk. And that was not the first time he had dropped that on me. I'd listened, but I didn't hear it. This time I heard it. And he was right. And I picked myself up, quit pouting, made friends, got involved in sports. And as we all know, Atlanta's a pretty good place to live, a pretty good place to raise a family and have and meet people. And I did. I went on to have a pretty nice high school career, and it was time to go off to college. And he next sits me down one more time and says, I got one more thing to say to you before you go off to college. And now I'm thinking, if you know the old threatening, if you don't get certain grades, I'm pulling you out, or you know, some kind of a grab me by the lapel moment. And once again, you know what he says? He says, I want you to enjoy it. He goes, it's not, quote, not just about the grades. It's about everything. It's about meeting new people. It's about failing, success. Experience. He said, you're going to Charleston. He said, go to Fort Sumter. Like, see things. And I realized in that moment that he had given me a gift that he believed in me. He trusted me to fail, to succeed, and I couldn't believe it. And I want to just read my first scripture here. It's from Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline of the Lord. And at this point, before I close this chapter, I want to mention something that I really believe in, and I think it's applicable to really all of us personally. I believe this. It's this concept of the hero's journey. It was originally popularized by an author named Joseph Campbell. Everyone knows it. It's the foundation for every Pixar film, and I'm going to use Star Wars because everyone gets it. And it's a foundation for there's like an individual who's venturing out into the world, and oftentimes that individual is reluctant to go out and take this challenge because fear of vulnerability or being exposed. And then there's on this journey, there's certainly adventure. And there's often even like an abyss or a near-death experience. And then there's typically like a resurrection and then, you know, a coming home. But in this journey, the individual is usually looking for something. And as Campbell says, it's the boon of the story, that it thing. And it was Luke, obviously, was the force. Well, I think for the men in this room, the boon of the story is God. God is that it thing that is right for us. And by the way, and this is important. On this journey, often there are guides. For Luke, it was Obi-Wan at first, and then Yoda, right? And what I realized in this moment is I'm going off to college. My journey had just started, and for the first part of my life, my guide was my dad. Now, I didn't know what I was looking for. That's key. And what I didn't know, and I certainly know he didn't know, is I was about to meet my second guide. And he's in this room. Christopher White. And remember that part when I said he didn't know it? Because I can assure you, we went to college together. We'll tell the stories later. Neither one of us knew it at the time. But let me tell you, it's been a pretty incredible journey. And we'll get into the stories later. So we graduate, believe it or not. I did have fun. I did have a lot of great experiences. We come back to Atlanta. I get married. He gets married. I have kids. He has kids. And you go on with life. And then you start getting a little financial independence. And oftentimes, good, bad, or indifferent, what happens with financial independence is you get a little full of yourself. Maybe you have options, distractions. And for me, it was selfishness, doing things that I'm not exactly proud of. And there's my guide. Hey, Todd, I want you to come to Friday Morning Men's Fellowship. And there's something I really think is pretty cool. I think you'd like to be a part of it. And I came. And it wasn't back. It was Charlie Renfro at the time, man in the station. And I don't even know if we were back by the table, by the bar, but I listened, but I didn't hear it. And I was back out into the selfish world. Came for a couple times, gone. And doing things, again, that I wasn't exactly proud of. And probably the best way to describe it without getting into detail, it was exactly opposite of what Bobby talks about every Friday morning. I was not a good friend. I was not a good husband. I was not a good father. Not a good coworker. Not a good friend. And I certainly wasn't a good leader. And the behavior got to a point where it cost me a marriage. There was, you know, there was my abyss, right? in the journey. And there's Chris, there's the guide once again. And I came. Unfortunately, still wasn't ready. I listened, but I didn't hear it. Out into the selfish world. Well, I actually, you know, kind of pulled out of the nosedive a little bit, and I got remarried to my current wife. I mentioned earlier the NC State fan, and my wife's a Christian woman. This woman is so wonderful. She's been an amazing stepmother to my children, incredible leader, disciplinarian. Anything Chris and his wife know her, anyone who's ever met her, she's a nurse at Northside Hospital. Just the, you know, the foundation, and just so supportive, just amazing. If something happened with this one, you remember my parents I mentioned? They'd kill me real quick. That's not even debatable. So I pulled out of the abyss in that part, but then a couple years ago, I started this business. It was a calling, and I'm still in it today, and it's never made me happier, but financially, it happened again. And as I was crawling up the walls, it was like back into the abyss, and there's my guide. Come to Friday morning men's fellowship, and I hit the door, and something about me, something was different. And what I realized, I didn't realize there had been seeds that God was planting in me through my guide, through the introduction of my guide, that it was like, you know, the analogy of gas to flame or water to seeds. When I hit the door, I see Frank Cox. Frank Cox also went to school with us. And I'm thinking, if he can handle this, come on, I can. No. But I do. I see Frank. And that was probably part of the connection. Come to meet Andrew, Grant, Nate, and Ryan, I know Kelly, if Kelly can handle it, that was another one. So, but seriously, it became like a brotherhood. And I started, I told Mark this week as we were preparing, I've done pretty well in school. I did everything last minute. Presentations, Mims and I are going to get reconnected. I used to work at Merrill. I don't want to hear, see, I'm getting off the rails. It's happening. I did things last minute. I told Mark, I prepared for this. Something is growing. And that day, when I came in and I saw Frank in the table, the fuse was lit. And the seeds have been planting through my guide, but it hit me. I started preparing, doing my homework, looking forward to coming. And I don't know how to explain it, but I know I had a heck of a guide, and I know it took a little time, but it's overflowing, and I can't, you know, again, thank everyone enough. Well, to close out that chapter, as Jimmy V said, where you were, where you are, and where you want to be. And he says, if you're comfortable where you are, it's as far as you go. So we didn't want that. Where am I going? And I started thinking, and I was like, it's in service. And I'll read my next scripture as to why. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Well, I think we can all understand now what I was looking for, and I didn't know it, but I found it, and I'm not letting it go, and it's a relationship with God. And my guides have been just tremendous in the journey, and my new guide are the people, really, it's my table, not to take, but it's Friday morning men's fellowship. And so as I was looking for this, you've ever heard that saying, aim small, miss small? I've heard it in the military, but it actually works in golf, by the way. You should give it. I'm telling you, it's law. Anyway. Aim small, miss small. Focus. Focus. And I realized my service is to this ministry. It's no secret. Mark is trying to grow it. I think the leadership circle is an example. And I realized my next chapter, my next calling in life, in my journey, is to help grow and serve this ministry. And I want to do it in three ways. Through my witness, through inspiration, maybe something like this talk might help, or and advocacy, finding others, and then finally financially. And real brief, the witness, I think I got down. You know, Woody Allen says 80% of life's just showing up. I've gotten pretty good at that part. The advocacy part, I know I need to go and help and introduce others to hopefully experience what I've experienced. And then financially, that's going to come. I know that. God's already told me that about the business and all that. So where I was, where I am, where I want to be, that's a little bit of the story. I'd like to close this in prayer and say, dear Lord, I want to thank you so much for everything you've done for me and my guides, my father and Christopher White, for introducing me to you. And I want to bless you would like love you to bless every man in this room with the inspiration to find others, to do exactly as Bobby says every Friday morning, to become better fathers, better husbands, better friends, better coworkers, and most of all, great leaders in knowing you just a little bit better. Amen. Enjoy your tables. Sorry, that was the last part. Enjoy your tables.
Awesome. That was awesome. Yeah, thanks.